Our text for today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and can be found on page 241 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for this time that we have to gather together, to worship, to hear the words of Scripture that speak so deeply into our hearts, into our lives. God, we just pray that we would be totally available to you this morning so that you can be at work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, transforming us more and more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, in case you haven't heard, I'm a grandfather. All right. I know you have heard that if you've been anywhere in the remote region of Allentown over the last couple of months. And so my grandson is here. His name is BL, and I have the great privilege of baptizing him into the relationship with Christ. I had the privilege of doing this with all four of my children across the years. Jem, our oldest, who's BL's mom, and her brother Clay at our very first church that we served, our daughter Tara at the second church that we served, and our youngest daughter Jordan right here at APC about 20 years ago. And so now to be able to baptize, the privilege of baptizing my grandson is just an extraordinary gift, and I am incredibly grateful. Here for the baptism, of course, we have other members of our biological family, and I especially just want to introduce Jem's mother-in-law. This is Nellie Alvarenga. If Nellie, you could stand up. We're so glad that Nellie's here. Nellie lives in Brazil and came to visit her grandson out in California, and now came here to be with us today. And there are other nieces and aunts and uncles and great aunts and uncles. I can't quite put all the relationships. Once you get another generation, it becomes very confusing. But they're here, and you're here, and we are really grateful. So when I baptized my children, I wanted to do something in the context of that kind of a pastoral privilege, I guess. And I wrote each of them a letter. And the purpose or the thought behind writing a letter to them was that on the day that they would say yes to Jesus Christ in their own time as being confirmed, then I would give them that letter that was written to them at their baptism. In our tradition, baptism is a promise made by the parents and by the congregation to raise children to come to know Christ in their lives. But those promises need to be confirmed by the person who has been baptized. And so our hope, our prayer today in BL's baptism and for all of us is that the day will come when he will say, yes, I accept this identity that you have given to me in my baptism. And so I've kind of continue that tradition. So I've written a letter to my grandson. I'm going to read to him and to all of you and share. And then I'll give it to his parents. And on the day when he stands up somewhere and says yes to Christ, you can give this to him. Dear BL, today as you read this, you are making a commitment of your life to follow Jesus. This letter is coming to you from your past. I'm writing this on the occasion of your baptism on September the 30th, 2018. You're just a little over 2 months old, and we're just getting to know you, and you're just getting to know your family and the world into which you were born. I ask your mom and dad to give this to you as you confirm the promises they're making at your baptism today to help you grow and to love and follow Jesus. I hope I'm with you on the day you receive this, but if not, please know that you are a great blessing to me. I was with your mom and dad the day you were born. I got to hold you when you were just a few minutes old. Ask them to tell you that story. The way you entered this world was not easy. As you know, your mom is my oldest child. I baptized her when she was just a baby, and now I have the privilege and honor of baptizing you. We're at the Allentown Presbyterian Church in New Jersey. Your mom moved here when she was 12 years old. This was the first church she ever joined. Your grandmother and I have lived here for 21 years, raised your mom and your aunts, Tara and Jordan, and your Uncle Clay in this place. If it weren't for this trip, you might not be here. This church sponsors a mission trip to Guatemala, and your mom went with me when she was just a teenager. That experience led her to want to make a difference in the parts of the world where people need the most support. And that, as well as other choices and experiences, eventually led her to Mozambique, Africa, where she met your dad. And now here you are. Ask them to tell you that story, too. There are other family members here who are related to you by our common genetics, both of your grandmothers, great aunts, uncles, second cousins, and others. But most of the people here today are not blood relatives, but I want to talk to you about these people because they are family. You'll probably never meet most of them personally, but they are extraordinarily important. This is the family of Jesus. There's another group of these people around you today, wherever you are. The followers of Jesus are all over the world. One of the reasons that saying yes to Jesus is so important is because you will always have a family, no matter where you go or what may happen to those of us who know you the best. These people are not perfect. In fact, they're just like any other people. But what sets us apart is that we have said yes to following Jesus. It's Jesus who makes us different. I wonder how the world has changed since I wrote this letter. In the 31 years since I baptized your mom, things have changed dramatically, in many ways for the better. There's less poverty in the world. The world has become a less violent place. Fewer people are starving. Your grandmother has much to do with making these kind of things happen in a country called Malawi. I'm sure she's invited you to go there. She invites everyone she meets. There are many things that people use every day now that didn't exist when I baptized your mom. The internet, email, search engines, Facebook, YouTube, smartphones, and many more. I'm not sure you even know what these things are, if they still exist. All of these inventions have made it easier to communicate and stay in touch. Even though we may live far from you, I'm sure we see each other and talk often because of these amazing inventions. I can't imagine what it must be like for you today. I assume by now most cars are self-driving. I hope you learn how to drive a car, though. It's pretty cool. There must be hundreds of robots doing all kinds of jobs that people used to do. We're seeing the beginning of something called virtual reality. You probably know all about that. There's something now called artificial intelligence, and the way you and I communicate may be very different. I can't even imagine all the things that you're teaching me today about things that don't exist right now. I hope I'm not too much of an embarrassment because I haven't kept up with all of the changes. But as wonderful as these things are, they also make the world a more artificial place. There's something about all this virtual reality and communicating across great distances that I fear is a great danger to the things that are most important. Artificial intelligence is powerful, but it is primarily about simply processing information. There is so much more to being human than the things we can program into machines. People need real relationships. We're made that way. No matter how sophisticated the gadgets, robots, communication systems, cameras, computers, and other things we make, we will never create something as beautiful and complex as another human being. However interesting and powerful virtual reality may be, it will always pale in comparison to the thrill of being with other real people face to face. No matter how impressive AI may become, it will always be artificial. Don't be fooled or seduced. There's a verse in the beginning of the Bible that says it's not good for humans to be alone. I think this is one of the greatest truths that there is. We need each other. People become human through the way we relate to other people and the way we relate to each other through love. BL, there are so many definitions and characterizations of love. Some people love their pets. Some love certain kinds of food. Some love a hobby, a place, a house. Some people love sports teams. The discerning ones love the Phillies and the Packers. I'm sure we've discussed this at length. These are all good, but they're not real love. Real love is experienced in a personal relationship. Whatever emotional attachment people may have to animals and things is not real love. When we talk about love, most people think of it as an emotional attachment, a positive feeling. Real love isn't even necessarily emotional. There are many times when people demonstrate real love without feeling any deep emotion. You see, real love is the way of being in the world. Real love is how Christians are called to live and to treat others. Real love is revealed love. It doesn't just happen naturally. Real love is something that must be modeled and taught and learned. Not everyone understands what real love is, but the people gathered around you today do, because they are the family of Jesus, and in Jesus we see what real love is. The Bible says that God is love. This is the beginning of real love. Real love begins with understanding the character of God. If we want to understand what real love is, we need to understand who God is. God does not have to have a relationship with us. God wants to have a relationship with us because this is God's character. God is love. Then the Bible goes on to say that we love because God first loved us. This is a great mystery. That God would care for you and me is beyond our comprehension. What does this mean? How do we know that God loves us? How does God love us? If we understand this, we begin to understand real love. The Bible says that God proves his love for us by sending his son Jesus to give his life for us. Jesus shows us what real love is. He willingly chose to lay down his life for others. That's what the Bible means when it says Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. BL, real love involves sacrifice. It involves caring more for the needs of others than you do for your own needs and comforts. This is a hard truth to understand and an even harder one to live. This kind of sacrificial love is real love, really hard. I don't claim for a moment to have mastered this, and I have often not done a very good job. Ask your mom or grandmother. But I know it is the best way, the right way, and really the only way to live life. I hope you will find people who will do this for you and people you will love so much you willingly sacrifice yourself for them. This sacrificial way of life takes many forms. The way we are called to sacrifice is different from person to person. I can't possibly imagine what it'll look like for you, but when you experience it and you live this way, you will know it. And the best way to learn about it is to experience it. And the church is a great place to start. The people who choose to be part of a Christian church like you are today have made a commitment to try to live like Jesus. This means we take the example of Jesus seriously. We strive to love others unconditionally and sacrificially the way Jesus loves us. No one will do this perfectly. These are the ideals we strive for. We're going to fail, but that doesn't mean we won't continue to try to love one another the way that God loves us and modeled for us how to love one another. So, my beloved grandson, I can't wait to watch as you grow from a baby to a boy and into a man. I'm so proud that you have decided to say yes to the invitation to follow Jesus. I trust you've seen this real kind of real love between your mom and dad. I pray you've seen it in the church where you are today. I hope you'll see it in those whom you choose to become friends. And I hope, most of all, you'll live with this so others will see it in you. Your beloved pops, or whatever you decided to call me.